as children of the Most High God, how do we view ourselves this very day? We should be viewing ourselves as the Lord's people, amen? Because when we choose Christ Jesus, we know that He has already chosen us, and we know that because of what He's done. He sent Jesus to die in your place and mine. So when we think about God and we think about Jesus Christ and we think about our views upon the Lord's people, we can view ourselves as also God's messengers. Would you say that that's very important today, to be a messenger of God? We also view ourselves as the servants of the Most High God. You and I, as children of God, should certainly be serving Him. We view ourselves as His redeemed. That's what I like. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, by Jesus Christ, and rightly so, because as a Christian, we are indeed all of these things and then some. And I can't help but to wonder this, as we're thinking about what we are to God, if we are all these things to the Lord and we know that we are all of these things to the Lord, then who is it and what is the Lord to us? It seems like we walk in, many of us walk in with an entitlement attitude. Here I am, God, what am I getting? I come here today, Lord, I walk in this building, what am I going to get? We really ought to turn that around. Do you agree with that? We really ought to turn it around and say, God, here I am, and I'm here to worship You. I'm here to serve You. I'm here to speak on Your behalf. I'm here to be an ambassador for You, Lord, because You've already given me everything. Number one, You gave me life. I'm still able to breathe and put air in these lungs. You've already given us that. And not only this temporary life that we have, but God, You've also given us life eternal. You gave us Jesus Christ, Your only begotten Son. And because You've given us Jesus Christ, we never have to die. Is that not cool? We never have to die spiritually. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed once for man to die, but after this, finish it. The judgment. So we know that this judgment's coming, but we do not have to die spiritually. If we die away from our Heavenly Father, that is your fault. That is my fault, because God is our everything. He is my everything. Say that with me. He is my everything. Folks, we are His followers. Did you know that as a follower of God, Darlene, that we are also His sheep? We know that He, according to Psalm 23, the Lord is my what? Shepherd is what the Bible says. And we are His chosen. We are God's anointed. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. I love the scripture found in the book of Psalm 100, down in verse 3. The Bible says, know that the Lord, that He is God. It is He who made us and not of ourselves. We are His people, and we are the sheep of, very good, of His pasture. That means that we belong to Him. He doesn't belong to us. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? But sometimes people have a tendency to believe that they can just boss God around. God says that we ought to pray to Him, and that we ought to pray without ceasing. And then in Luke 18:1, man ought always to pray and not lose heart. Well, the Lord tells us to pray unto Him, but nowhere in the Scripture does it say that we are to boss God around. Lord, I've got this going on. And Lord, I've got that going on. I've got this situation I'm faced with. You need to fix this. You need to... No, you're not His boss. You are not His leader. God is our leader, amen? And we should be saying things, God, if it is Your will, I hope that this will happen. We need to be praying that it's the will of Almighty God. Yes, indeed, we are God's people. I love what Paul talked about over in the book of Romans chapter 14, down in verse 8. For if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, who are we? We are the Lord's. We know to whom we belong. Since we are the Lord's, and we know that we belong to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shouldn't you and I together every single day strive to live a closer relationship with Him than we did the day before? A stronger relationship with the very one that created us. The very one that gave us air in our lungs, He still does. The very one that gave up His only begotten Son so that we may all have that opportunity of salvation. Jesus Christ is my everything. Say it like you mean it. Jesus Christ is my everything. He is my all. So many times we talk about what we are to Him, and we are His followers, we are His children, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think we need to occasionally visit the other side of that. not what we are to Christ, but what Christ is to us. Does that make sense this morning? What Christ Jesus is to you and me. So let's take a look at a lesson from God's Word that from the Scriptures may lead us to having a closer relationship with God. Having a closer relationship with God because we will know a little bit more today, hopefully. That's our aim today, to know a little bit more about what God is to us and who God is to us. The first point that I want us to examine this morning as we talk about the title of the lesson, He is my everything. I want you to know today, according to the Bible, here He is. He is my rock, He is my fortress, and God is my deliverer. Amen? That's what He is to us. How long do you think you could make it on your own? I can tell you how long. None. Because God is the one that's giving you breath for your body. God is the one giving you an opportunity right now to make sure your life is correct with Him. God is the one that says, I'm going to give you breath yet another day. In one snap, God can take you right out of the question, can't He? He can take you right out the earth. He can send you wherever you've decided you're going to go, either heaven or hell. The choice is yours. I can't make that choice for you. The church doesn't make that choice for you. Oftentimes, people attend the church services thinking, well, if I just attend, maybe I'll go to heaven. Maybe I can avoid that place called hell. That's not true at all. Going to McDonald's doesn't make you a Big Mac, does it? Just like coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. Do you understand that? We could go to McDonald's every day, and I'm still going to be the same old Jerry. I'm not going to turn into a Big Mac. I may look like I've had a few Big Macs. But coming into this church building doesn't make you a Christian. Giving your life completely to Jesus Christ does. Being baptized into the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and living that confession and living your life for Him from this moment on. Will you mess up? Absolutely. Do we fall short? Every one of us do. Do we miss the mark? Yes, we do. But thank God above that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Thank goodness that we can go to the Lord in prayer and ask for forgiveness. We have to remember what John 9:31 says. About prayer. He doesn't hear the prayers of just anybody. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but anyone say worship of Him, He does His will, doesn't He? God hears that prayer, those who are seeking after Him. So we need to remember that in these difficult times, in my stresses, in my worst times, I want us to know that God will deliver us. He is our everything. When we're faced with adversity, how many people in here are faced with adversity from time to time? Some of y'all are flatlined because we're all faced with adversity from time to time. And how about setbacks? Has anybody ever had a setback in their life? Here we go. Now we got some truth coming out. How many of us feel like sometimes life just knocks us down, takes our breath from us? Anybody ever had that? All right, well, what about this? Have you ever had, like the old expression says, you're standing there, you think everything is just perfect, and the rug got pulled out from under your feet? You ever felt that way? You hit the floor so quick, you don't even know what happened. I'll tell you what happened. Life happened. But thank God, we have a Christ Jesus. We've got the Son of God that loves us so much that He will deliver us. He is our rock. He is that solid foundation. He is the structure in which we can build our lives upon. I can't help but to think about David, King David, the one after God's own heart. I think about when he was surrounded by his enemies, and I think about how he was hunted by Saul. Anybody remember Saul? That's the same guy, Paul, isn't it, before his conversion. Is that the same? Different one? Okay. So anyway, so who was Saul out to get David, though? Yes, he was. But I want you to see something in the book of Psalm chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. Will y'all go with me? All right, the Bible says, I will love you, O Lord, my what? Oh, did you notice that word strength? So where do you think David gets his strength? From who? He gets it from the Lord. The Lord is my, say it like you mean it, rock. There you go. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and He is my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Look at verse 3. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Look at the confidence that he has in Almighty God. When David was surrounded and enveloped by his enemies, what did he do? He turned to the Father, didn't he? We should turn to the Father not only when we're facing adversity, but when we are at the best times of our life as well. When things are going perfect, we should be right there with God. When things are going mediocre, we should be right there with God. When things are going horrible, we should be right there with God. Because God delivers His people. Do you agree with that? In the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 2, if you look over at that passage of Scripture, you can see Hannah's view of God is, I think about her prayer, if I may, her prayer of thanks, her prayer of appreciation when Hannah finally bore a son called Samuel. No, watch this. 1 Samuel 2, verse 2, no one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there, watch this, nor is there any rock like who? Like, thank you, Darlene, like our God. Here she is, Hannah truly giving praise that she finally bore a son. Let's not forget what the Scripture says back in the book of Deuteronomy. Would you go there? The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, back in verse 4. Let's not forget what Moses said regarding God being his rock as well. I love this, right to the point. He is the rock. His work is what? His work is perfect. You can rely on God, can't you? You can rely on God, can't you? All right, but why? Because His work is perfect. For all of His ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright, the Scripture says, is He. So if you believe the Bible, you can know and have all the confidence in the world that God will see us through. He is our rock. He is our fortress. He is our deliverer. He is our everything. So, since we all know what God is, we know that He is our rock, our solid foundation, our structure, if I may, on what, how we can build our life, shouldn't you and I be building our house upon the Lord Jesus Christ? I appreciate Jared bringing that passage to us just a few moments ago in Matthew 7, 21 through 27. It shows that one built his house upon the rock. The winds came. What does that mean? How does that relate to us? And when we build our lives upon the Lord Jesus Christ, are you following me? When we build our lives upon the Lord Jesus Christ and those winds come and those storms of life come and adversity comes and setbacks comes and all these things happen, when all these big storms come about in our life, guess what? When we build our lives on Jesus Christ, we're still going to be standing, aren't we? But we can build our life on something temporal. You can go build your life and make it look pretty. You can build it up on the sand and everything seems to be hunky-dory, but you wait till that storm comes. You wait till adversity slaps us across the face. You wait till those winds of controversy pick us up and fly us like a kite. You wait till that happens and you watch your life crumble because you built up on the sand. You built up on the temporal things. You built up on an unsolid foundation. You built up on something other than the rock, Jesus Christ. Are y'all with me? So make sure that we're doing that, that we are building our lives upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be reminded that we often talk about what we are to God, and we should. But we should also acknowledge what and who God is to us. The second point that I want us to examine this morning, as we talk about He is my everything, say that with me, He is my everything. Here's another one. He is my light, L-I-G-H-T. God is my light. Without light, we are in, okay, and light represents God. Light represents being able to see clearly, and darkness, you're in trouble, right? Right? Darkness, we're walking without direction. We're walking into anything. We can step off the edge of a cliff. Listen, Jesus Christ, God is our light. He's our everything. Folks, it is pretty simple. If we're not walking in the light, we're walking in darkness. We can all know according to the Scripture that Jesus Christ Himself, He is the light. A light that shines in the world. A light that lights up the paths of life. Many times we may come to a fork in the road. We may have a decision to make. We don't really know which way to go. How am I going to know what to do? If I go over here, this may happen. If I go over there, that may happen. You know what? And it may seem a little dark. We're not sure what to do. Jesus Christ brings the light. Put your reliance upon God, not us. Amen? Put your reliance upon Jesus Christ and He'll lead you to where you need to be. He will lead you to the place that He wants you to be. He will help you to make the right decisions. He will help you to be the person that you know you can be as a servant of the Most High God. We all know, according to the Scriptures, that Jesus is the light, a light that shines in the world, a light that gives light into the paths of life. I can't help but to consider the passage found in Psalm 27, down in verse 1. The Lord is my light, and He's also my what? whom shall I fear? To whom shall I fear? What is the psalmist saying? He goes, I got God. I don't have anything else to worry about. Watch this. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I don't think that this great psalmist is being arrogant or cocky or anything like that. I think he's showing confidence in his Savior. I think he's showing confidence in Almighty God. I don't have to worry. I got God. You and I today should have that same attitude, shouldn't we? Not in arrogance, not being puffed up, but being confident, knowing that because God is my everything, I've got it all. The great psalmist David knew where his strength came from. It's why you have to respect that. David knew in God we have light. Outside the Lord, there is only darkness and despair. So how many times again have you been faced with things? Maybe faced with temptations that come your way that's just really hard to overcome. Maybe you're faced with challenges and how difficult that can be, and it made us feel perhaps alone in that challenge. Perhaps we felt like we were in darkness, as I said just a moment ago. Perhaps it was a loss of a loved one. Maybe it was a financial setback, financial problem. Maybe it's a job loss. Maybe it's a marriage issues. Maybe it's problems with our children. Maybe it's church issues. Maybe it's confusion, and so on, and so on, and so on. Folks, let me advise you, according to the Scriptures, you do not have to reside in darkness, brothers and sisters. If you reside in darkness, it is your choice. Because the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, does what? Cleanses us from all of our sins. Good job, Jerry. Cleanses us from all of our sin. So if you're walking in darkness today, if you are walking outside of being a child of the Most High God, that's your choice. You're making the choice to just think that you're in charge of your own life. That great prophet, I believe it's Jeremiah, says, it is not in man who walks to do what? To direct his own steps. You're not in God, you're in yourself. And we'll send ourselves straight to hell. I beg you in light of the Scriptures, make sure that we submit ourselves to our Heavenly Father. Listen, God is light, God is love. And don't dare forget that God is life itself. God gives you and me light when we find ourselves in that dark spot. When we find that we have wandered off from the fold of safety, God gives the repentant sinner the light of life, and He lights up the path so you can see how to return to Him. In the book of Psalm chapter 119, down in verse 105, love this passage. The Bible says, your word is a lamp unto my feet. It is a light unto my path. What is He saying? He's simply saying, I'll show you the way back. I'll show you the right way to go. But you got to get up and you got to get it done. He's not just going to give it to us. He's going to show us how to do it. Amen? If He's our everything, you say that He is. We've all agreed that He is our everything. Make sure that we're doing our part. If we're lost, then it's our desire to be lost, because God's Word provides the light needed to clear our minds of these fleshly, earthly rewards and seek solely the things that God has in store for you and me. I have to think about the Apostle Paul. Back when he was Saul at one time, before his conversion, Saul was blinded by the world, wasn't he? He was blinded by tradition, if I may. But thankfully, the Lord gave him the light that is necessary to serve God. He sent a guy named Ananias to him when he was laying on the road to Damascus. He was down. You remember how many days he was without vision? Three. So he didn't have vision for 3 days. And then the Lord chose this guy named Ananias and said, hey, go talk to him and tell him what to do. Tell him to rise, be baptized, get straightened out. Ananias was like, there's a guy who lives a couple doors down from me. His name is Felix. Can you go talk to him? Because I don't really want to go. That's part probably not in the Scripture. But he didn't really want to go right then. He kind of reminded the Lord, said, hey, do you remember who this guy is? He killed Christians. He would drag us in. He got permission from the magistrates and everybody just to take us in and do whatever he wanted to do. But Ananias received instruction from the Lord. He went to Saul-Paul, and told him to arise and be baptized, get things straight with the Lord. Did he do it? He arose. He was baptized, became an evangelist, didn't he? Yes. He went out on several missionary journeys, didn't he? And set a lot of churches. I would submit to you that other than Jesus Christ, when I watch what the Apostle Paul did and I read about the Apostle Paul, my opinion only, do with it what you want, one of the greatest evangelists of all time. The Apostle Paul was a bad boy. He did what God told him to do, didn't he? He was tough. He was awesome. You know why? Because he knew without a doubt that the Lord was the light of his life. Let us all remember, when we're feeling alone, sometimes we do, when we feel like we are in the darkness of life, immediately be reminded that God is the light. He is the one that will provide you and me the shelter in the time of storm. When we have these storms in life, and we all have them, we come in here and we act like we don't, and that's okay, but we all have storms. The preacher has it. Leaders of the church has it. Members of the church have it. We have storms in life, but we also have a shelter in the time of storm, don't we? We have a place to hide, and we hide under those nail-scarred hands of Jesus Christ. He is our shelter in the time of storm. So we know that he is the light as well. Not only is he our deliverer, not only is all that, but he is also our light, isn't he? Are we agreeing so far? The third point in this lesson is yours. He's also my strength. I am a weak vessel, but I am strong as an ox in Christ. Amen? When we have Christ Jesus, we're strong, extremely strong. I know that there are times in our lives that things may just feel very heavy. We're not sure how we're going to be able to overcome certain situations. How many times in your life have you been faced with something and saying, I just don't know how to handle this. I don't know what to do. I don't know how this is going to come out. It's during those times, brothers and sisters, that we can know that we can be overcomers because Jesus Christ is our strength. I know life can be so heavy. God knows that life for you and me can be so heavy and so challenging. That, my friend, is why it's so nice for you and me to be reminded of just how powerful our God is. No matter what happens to you, no matter what happens to me, no matter what situation we're facing, no matter how strong or how tough it may be, my God is tougher. My God is more powerful. You know why? Because he's my everything. Say that with me. He's my everything. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, down in verse 13, the scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who what? All right, so that strength comes from the Lord. God is my strength. 1 John chapter 4, down in verse 4, you are of God, little children. I have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Psalm chapter 46, down in verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Very present help in the times of trouble. Yes, indeed, God is everything. I want you to remember that. Is he yours also? Is God your everything this very day? Jesus is not only our rock, he's not only our light, he's not only our strength, but God is also our shield, isn't he? He protects his people. He protects his children. He is also my song. He is my portion, if I may. God is my helper as he helps navigate me through the maze of life. This life is confusing as heck, isn't it? Sometimes we get so confused, like, why did this happen? How did that happen? What's going to happen now? I don't have to worry about that because God guides me. His word guides me through this maze of life. Ultimately, God is my salvation. That's what I'm going to close on. God is our salvation. Jesus Christ is our salvation. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not but have everlasting life. Verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him. Together we might be. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrated his own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Matthew 1:21, she shall bring forth the Son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. And then ultimately, John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So if you think you can get salvation because you know another Christian, you think you can get salvation because you're wealthy or not so wealthy, or you're popular or not so popular, you think you can do a multitude of good deeds and alms and earn your salvation? Absolutely not. Salvation is from God, amen? And it is your response to God. You must today make God your everything. And there's no other name under heaven given among men by which you can be saved. So, what is Christ to you this very moment? Who is Christ to you this very second? Is he just somebody that you've heard about since you were a kid? Is he somebody that maybe you've read about occasionally? Or is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Is Jesus Christ the one that you are serving today? In the book of Luke chapter 6, verse 46, the Bible says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you to do?" What's he saying? Jesus is saying, if you're not serving me, I'm not your Lord. Because that word Lord means what? Say it louder. Master. That word Lord means master. So Jesus is our master. That means we're the servant. So if you're not serving, he's not your master. So the question is this as we close our lesson. Are you willing to make Jesus the Lord of your life today? Are you willing today to make sure that things are right in your relationship with him? Today, if you're not a child of God, if you're not a Christian, I'm not your judge. I'm not beating you up. I feel sorry for you because I know that outside the fold of safety, if your life is required of you, I didn't say you're going to hell. I don't have that in life. Thank God I don't. I'm not the judge. But the Bible tells us what we are to do to go to heaven. Amen? And it's not going to be any compassion. Well, he was a pretty good guy. She was a pretty good girl. She went and painted her grandmother's house several years ago when her grandmother broke her foot. So, yeah, I'm going to let her in heaven. No, good deeds doesn't get us there. Good alms and great alms doesn't get us there. It is love for God and faithful obedience to the Father. Amen? Here's how you become a Christian if you're not one today. You have to hear the Word of God being proclaimed. I gave it to you as Scripture. Everybody agree I gave it to you by the Scripture? Okay. So then you have to believe. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Believe that he died upon the cross for your sins and mine. I believe that, without a doubt. Confession's got to be made. Not a confession coming to the preacher and saying, well, hey, I did this last Thursday at 3 o'clock, and then Friday I did this, and then Saturday. That's not the confession. It's good to confess your sins to the Lord, isn't it? Asking for forgiveness. But the confession, Matthew 10, 32, 33, if you confess me before men, I am faithful and just to confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. So that's simply making a proclamation in the presence of a witness or witnesses that you believe that Jesus absolutely is God's Son, that he died for you, and 3 days later, he rose again. Upon that confession of faith, the Bible tells us to be baptized. Not as an outward act of religion. You're not ever baptized into James Avenue. I hope and pray you don't ever think that. You are baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. That's it. Amen? And then after that baptism, we have a responsibility. Sadly, we all know many that was baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. They came back to church a few times, and then where are they today? We're not their judges, but they're not going anywhere. The Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much more as you see the day approaching. I've got family members who constantly want to remind me or try to remind me that you don't have to go to church to be saved. Show me in the Bible where you can be saved outside of the church. The Bible says, do not forsake thee of ourselves, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. And for those that continue in that era, look at the next verse, Hebrew 10, 26. For if you continue to sin willfully after knowing right from wrong, there no longer remains a what? A sacrifice of that sin. No more forgiveness because you just keep on doing it. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. And the Lord added to the church, how often? Daily. Those that are being what? So do you have to be a member of the body of Christ to be saved? Absolutely. Say that with me. Absolutely. You have to be a member. Maybe today, maybe you are a Christian. Perhaps you became a Christian many years ago, but you wandered off on the fold of safety. You kind of got caught up in some junk like we all do from time to time. And it took you away from the nail-scarred hands of Jesus. It took you away from doing what you know you need to be doing in your walk with Jesus Christ. And maybe you need the prayers of the congregation. I tell you right now, these front rows up here are not judgment seats. Amen? These seats are available for you. If you need something, if you need prayer, you need encouragement, that's what it's there for. If we hear anybody judging, I promise you, we will do vandalism to their house. Right, Chase? Chase will do it in a New York second, even if he loves you. So the reality is, if you have a need today, you need prayer, you need anything at all, let us know. Come now, it's together.